This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular, a wonderful Friday. We're going to make fun of Stacey Abrams. Then we'll talk about government language. Some dude's dating a woman with a nose ring. All that. Somebody's mad about Donald Trump on spending and so much more. Ooh, including some good deportation news. All that and so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show in the second hour. Now, I want to first begin here because it's an endlessly funny thing to me. I've been snickering about it for an entire day. I meant to get to it last night. I just didn't have time. But Stacey Abrams, you know who Stacey Abrams is. She's such great evidence of how Democrat politics work in this country and how there's been a system put into place, not of merit, but of being a member of the system. We've talked about this before, a system membership card. Let's recap this for those who may be new to the show. A country's built on its institutions, as we've already talked about tonight. Ideally, you want your institutions to be separate. Not so they can always work against each other, but so that's a possibility, you see. You don't want, let's say, there's a virus from China. You don't want the American media to work hand in hand with the government, who also works hand in hand with the medical establishment, to agree on one false narrative. That is devastating for a country. You want these institutions to be separate, okay? But after years and years and years of neglect by us, in years of communist infiltration, what we have now is all of our institutions speak with one voice, believe the same thing. They've all been captured by the communists, and that's why Hollywood says the same thing the CDC says, which says the same thing the university says, which says the same thing the media says, which says the same thing the FBI says. You get the idea. And I call it the system, okay? The system. Now, when you get to a place where you have an evil, corrupt system, something happens. And in fact, every communist country is famous for this. Famous for this. Did you ever see, I've pointed out this scene for you before, did you ever see the HBO series Chernobyl? Highly recommend it if you've not seen it. It's in a wonderful series and very, very accurate for what happened during Chernobyl and whatnot. But there's this incredible scene, I believe it's in the first episode, where all these Soviet officials are gathered around a table and they're trying to figure out what to do about the problem. The problem is, okay, there's been an explosion, there's nuclear fallout, but what really brings it home, what really stands out to you on the television is how inept all these people are. And not only are they inept, they almost feel like they should be inept because everything has to be done in service to the system, or in this case, the state. Oh, you actually have it, Chris? You have? Oh, Chris has the clip. Play it.
What is its real name?
Pause for a second real quick. Sorry, I want to set this up. There's been an explosion at Chernobyl. The Soviets don't know what to do about it. Some are saying we need to report it. We need to tell everyone else. We need to keep it quiet. We need to treat it. The guy you hear speaking right off the bat, he's very clearly the highest up Soviet in the room. Go ahead.
The Vladimir I. Lenin nuclear power station.
Exactly. Vladimir I. Lenin. and how proud he would be of you all tonight. Especially you, young man, and the passion you have for the people. For is that not the sole purpose of the apparatus of the state? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fall prey to fear. But our faith in Soviet socialism will always be rewarded. Now, the state tells us the situation here is not dangerous. Have faith, comrades. The state tells us it wants to prevent a panic. Listen well. It's true. When the people see the police, they will be afraid. But it is my experience that when the people ask questions that are not in their own best interest, they should simply be told to keep their minds on their labor and leave matters of the state to the state.
That's we seal off an evil, corrupt system built on lies. In a system like that, it doesn't seek out capable people. In fact, most of the time, it doesn't even want capable people. Because capable people, intelligent people, high-achieving people, people like that, those people are likely to want to break away from the state, break away from the system. It's not what it's looking for at all. It's not looking for ability or intelligence or accomplishment. It's looking only for loyalty. Only for loyalty. It is loyalty to the lie, loyalty to the state or the system in this case. That is what is prioritized. And because that's what's prioritized, that is what is incentivized. I've talked before about DEI and cultural Marxism as being the death of everything. And I explained the reason everything around us is dying. It feels like products are worse, customer service is worse, people are worse, government's worse, is because everything is dying. And everything is dying because we have shifted away from being a country focused on accomplishment and hard work, and we focused on only loyalty to the system. And loyalty to the system is what's rewarded. Stacey Abrams ran for governor and lost. Okay, that's fine. I lost two congressional races myself, not dogging on it, but that's what she did. There's nothing else. And yet, Stacey Abrams, we can't get rid of her. She's like a tick that's been dug in for 2 days. You can't get rid of her. She's everywhere. You see her all over the television set. Stacey Abrams, famously, her organization got $2 billion of your money handed to her as the Biden administration was on the way out the door. Chris, do me a favor. Look it up, even though these things are never accurate. What's Stacey Abrams' net worth? I would love to. You know what? I'll wait right here, Chris. Just, do we have like the Jeopardy noise, the Jeopardy sound? We should do that. Don't worry, Chris. I'll do it myself. I provide my own sound effect. You know what we'll do? We'll do this while we wait.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Frito.
Chris already has it, about $3 million. From what? What's she done? Well, she did really one of the most profitable things you can do in the United States of America now. She proved herself to be a loyal servant of the system. And that loyalty, not your accomplishment, not your ability, not anything you've done, that is what is rewarded handsomely. And so I have always referred to it as the system membership card. You see, if you were in East Germany and you wanted a better job, better house, better pay, better food, better this, better that, what you really wanted was to become a member, be accepted as being a member of the Communist Party, because you needed that membership in order to access the finer things in life. You may not be able to go to a modern movie in East Germany, but if you could even rise to the levels of being in communist leadership, you have your own little village with your own little movie theater. The perks are all there. And you don't have to accomplish anything to get those perks. You just have to prove your loyalty to the system. That has happened already in the United States of America. It's why people like Stacey Abrams, who's done nothing anybody can talk about, yet we all know who she is. We all can hear her voice. And it's why she's worth $3 million. And she just did something else. And it's so insane, arrogant, transparent. It's so all of these things that honestly, it doesn't make me mad in the least. It just makes me laugh. The absurdity of Stacey Abrams gives me the snickers terribly. So do you want to hear what she did? I'm telling you, you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh when I put it in a good reference for you. You want to hear what she did? I'll play it for you next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. That's Bob Dylan, sir. Is he a little whiny, did you say, Chris? Now, listen. Bob Dylan is a legend, okay? But here's the truth of it. Bob Dylan is a legendary songwriter. Bob Dylan's voice is awful. Awful. It's never been a good voice. It's not a good voice. But, you know, good songwriter manages to get some good instruments behind him and it makes some good music. You don't have to have a wonderful voice to make wonderful music. Anyway, back to our Stacey Abrams talk. So, Stacey Abrams is a member of the system, a card-carrying member of the system. And Stacey Abrams is out promoting a she's out promoting a new children's book. And, well, I'll let Stacey tell you about it.
Well, Stacey Speaks Up is the story of little Stacey and a day in the cafeteria when she notices one of her classmates can't afford lunch. She wrestles with what it means to need an adult's help, but to believe that she might be the only solution. And so she takes it upon herself to gather her friends and see if she can tackle the issue of hunger, but also, you know, think about what it means to speak up for someone else.
I can't. For one, well, I don't even know which part of this is the best. There are so many parts of this that are so good that I can't even put it into words. One, there's Tubby Stacy tackling the issue of hunger. Yeah, Stacy, looks like you're really going through it. Prayers for Stacey Abrams. Let's just hope she gets a meal. I'll tell you, last time I looked at Stacey Abrams, I thought, whoa, did she just come out of a prison camp? She looks terrible. So anyway, Stacey's going to tackle hunger. That's one. Two, maybe the best part of this, maybe the best part is, look, I've seen a lot of children's books advertised. I've actually considered writing a funny one myself at one point or another. But I've seen, everyone's seen a children's book advertised. I have never in my life, seen a children's book written where the author makes herself the star of the children's book. My name is Stacey Abrams, and the name of my children's book, it stars a hero who speaks up for others, and her name is Stacey. It's so great. It's so lacking in self-awareness. And you know what the maybe the best part of it is, or maybe it's the worst part of it? The sales are going to be through the roof. And let me tell you why. Chris is shaking his head. See, Chris, it just dawned on you, didn't it, buddy? You know what happens, right? You know why so many of these libs write books and nobody cares to write the book? Here's my 19th book about why Donald Trump is mean. And you're looking at that and thinking, well, that has to have the smallest possible audience. Who's going to buy that? Nobody's going to buy that. Well, I discovered a little something when I was writing books. Well, was writing books when I wrote one book. I wrote that book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, as you know, available at jessekellybook.com. But I wrote that book. And after the first week, what you're waiting for is there are a bunch of bestseller lists that come out. The two big ones that you've probably heard of are the New York Times bestseller list and the the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. Those are kind of like the two big boys. The New York Times bestseller list, they will famously try to keep off books on the right. The Wall Street Journal's kind of more reasonable. The Anti-Communist Manifesto was the number one political book in the United States of America in July, the year it came out. I forget where we got on the Wall Street Journal top 10 list, but it was way up there. The New York Times didn't even put us on the list. We destroyed everyone else. But that's beside the point. That's me complaining. Beyond that, I discovered something. How do they decide the list? Setting aside the editorial process, how do you even get these numbers? Well, it's all tracked by sales, you see. Amazon has to report how many copies of the Anti-Communist Manifesto they sold, and Barnes & Noble has to report, and these people have to report. And so there's different reporting. They have to send in the report to the Wall Street Journal saying, hey, the Anti-Communist Manifesto sold this many copies, all right? That's how it works. They add it up, decide what the bestseller is. But there's a little disclaimer on some of these sales. And the first time they showed me a list, I didn't know what I was looking at. I said, hey, what's this little mark here? There's a special mark they give to books where an organization bulk buys the book. You see, let's say I was a card-carrying member of the system and I wrote the Anti-Communist Manifesto. Now, remember, I'm a loyal member of the system. You know, climate change and all this other crap. I'm a loyal member of the system. Let's say I read a crappy book no one wants to read, like Stacy Speaks Up. Well, I'm guaranteed a large quantity of money and a large amount of sales because there will be at least one, if not several, communist groups out there, many of them nonprofits, believe it or not, many of them nonprofits. What they will do is they'll simply step in and buy 10,000 books, 20,000 books. Hey, I'd love to buy 10,000 copies of that. The problem is so pervasive on the left, and it does happen on the right, by the way, but it's so pervasive on the left that the book reporters, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, whatever, they now have a special category for the books where that happens. They try the best they can not to lump them in with the other books, although sometimes they do. Now do you understand the value of a system membership card? You can write a children's book starring yourself about hunger. It'll sell by the thousand. Because that's the benefit of having a system membership card. Let's get back to the emails before we do that. Let's save a life really quickly. Just a life. Sounds like a small thing. I think you would argue to the baby that's about to be killed, it's everything, right? As we are goofing off on a Friday making fun of Stacey Abrams, there's a young mother who's about to kill her baby. She's been told it's a clump of cells, it's an inconvenience, her boyfriend's telling her to do it, maybe even her parents are, and she's already made the decision to have that abortion. That's when preborn steps in. They find her and they say, hey, how about a free ultrasound? And then if you decide to keep that baby, we'll help you. You need diapers? You need formula? Do you need counseling? Do you need treatment? We'll help you. There's an organization saving those lives. That's preborn. And when you give to preborn, it's tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Subject to this one is, I take full responsibility means nothing anymore. Captain J. Steele, why is it when a government or corporate official states the phrase, quote, I take full responsibility for fill in the blank, it really means there's no responsibility to be had by anyone? Whether it's airstriking Afghani civilians, lying about the vaccine's effectiveness, or showing up empty-handed with the Epstein files, saying you take full responsibility seems to just get people off the hook. Taking full responsibility should be a chilling rush when a major crime is committed. It should mean that all punishment for a crime will be carried by the person claiming said responsibility. You're right. You're right. And this is what people in power, mostly Democrat, but there are definitely some Republicans in there too. This is what I don't think they understand. And this is global. This goes well beyond the United States of America. Western governments, on a super, super macro level, on a 30,000 foot level, they don't see what is happening. And I can see it clear as day. And I know you can see it. What is happening in Western civilization is Western governments have turned against their own patriotic citizens. That's why they're mass importing as many foreign barbarians as they can. But their own citizens are starting to seriously separate and distrust the government, all their institutions. And what the establishment, what the government, what the elites don't seem to grasp is, once that separation is complete, once the people have completely decided to separate from their government, no more trust, no more nothing, once that happens, then the end of that current rule is near. You see it, honestly, you can look at history. Maybe it's just because you and I, we love history so much. Maybe that's why we see it. I look at things like the Russian czars. You know about the communist revolution that eventually brought down the Russian czars. You get all that, 1917, all these things. But let's talk about this for a second. The czars were there for like 300 years ruling Russia. Majorly powerful family. Ruling Russia. The czar, you're a king. The king of Russia. But if you study anything about the decades prior to the communist revolution, it's painfully obvious that the Russian people were tired of it. They were sick of this, and they were sick of that, and they were tired of these work conditions, and tired of this not being provided, and tired of this, and tired of that. They were separating from their government to the point where there were assassination attempts. I believe it was Nicholas II. I think he watched his own grandfather, maybe uncle. He watched his own grandfather die because he got bombed and his guts were hanging out. It's like this horrible story. It was obvious. Looking back now with 2020 vision, it was obvious the people were separating. But the most amazing thing is the things the government did while this was happening. The government, of course, had a secret state police agency, like all bad regimes do, and they would do things like throw people in prison, oppress the people, crack down on the people. That's the last thing you want to do if the people are starting to distrust the government. Look at the United States of America. With the people at maximum levels of distrust in the government decided to embark on a public campaign to arrest as many right-wingers as possible. And after they were done arresting about 1,000 January 6ers, they publicly bragged. They did a press conference. I remember it. Bragging that they intended to hunt down 1,000 more. Bragging about it. We'll hunt you down. We'll come get you. Completely unaware of what's happening out there on a macro level. What's happening out there? And something else, and this is a little warning to the American government, whether it's run by Republicans or Democrats, this is, you know what? This is not a little warning. Consider it a gigantic warning, and I promise you I'm right about this. What finally finished off the czars was World War I. You reached a point of maximum distrust between the people and their government. Maximum distrust. And at that point of maximum distrust, the government sent its people to die in a war. And the people started dying in droves. That's exactly where we are right now as a country. That situation has not changed now that Trump has taken over. There is still, you should see my emails. It's all, where's Pam Bondi? Where's the FBI? What's Cash Patel doing? Hey, why aren't we getting more deportations? I don't have stacks and stacks of emails of loving adoration for everything right now. Now, it's not, you know, a bunch of Trump hate, right? But I have emails with people, with you, with demands. Hey, where's this? Where's this? Where's the Epstein file? Where's this? We are still at a point of maximum distrust. And this is beyond us. It's happening in the UK. It's happening in Ireland. It's happening in Germany. It's happening. There is a point of maximum distrust. And back to your question about the I take full responsibility and then no one ever goes down. As the people have turned, Chris, grab that World Economic Forum quote about the elites and everything else. As the people have turned against the elites, against the eliters, the leaders of their country, what's happened is the elites have chosen to look out for themselves even more. They've turtled up into, well, we're this elite. Oh, you have it, Chris? Go ahead, play it.
At Davos a few years ago, you know, the Edelman survey showed us that the good news is the elite across the world trust each other more and more. So we can come together and design and do beautiful things together. The bad news is that in every single country they were polling, the majority of people trusted that elite less.
Thanks for grabbing that clip, Chris. I forgot she laid out exactly what I was saying perfectly well. As the people are separating from their institutions, distrusting their institutions, in response to this, instead of doing what will save them or what could save them in their power, that's open honesty, transparency, accountability. These are the things that can earn that trust back. Instead of doing that, the elites right now are doing the exact same thing elites have always done throughout the history of mankind when distrust reaches a maximum level. What they do is they double down on everything that will guarantee an end to their reign. Everything. That's what they do. They've decided they're going to lock shields together and only protect themselves. And you see this everywhere. And for some reason, they can never see it. They just can't ever do it. Look, I'll just speak militarily. I have so many friends who are obviously, they were in the Marine Corps with me, and other friends, other veterans from other branches that I've gotten to know over the years. There is a simmering anger for what happened in Afghanistan that they have not put past. I know maybe you have forgotten it or let it go, but what happened was for 20 years we fought the global war on terror. And in that 20 years, the lowly private, the PFC, the corporal, the sergeant, if he screwed up in some way, he was not only taken through the ringer, put through the ringer. Oftentimes he was sent to prison for what he did wrong, or at the minimum, his career was destroyed. And these same guys, as we watch this happen to our friends, we watch general after general, admiral after admiral, screw everything up with nothing but a fat retirement check. And they capped it all off with that disaster in Afghanistan where we got our guys killed and then we drone strike 10 innocent people and not one single person, not one, has been held accountable for it. You elites don't see what's happening. But I'm here to tell you it ends really, really badly for you. It does. It does. Consider that a warning. It does. Would you like to learn more about this kind of history? You know what's a perfect example of this? The fall of the Roman Republic. It's almost verbatim what happened. The rise and fall of the Roman Republic. You know, Hillsdale's offering a free online course teaching you about that, where they were run by the Senate instead of a king, but the Senate kept abusing the people, and the people kept getting mad, and the people kept trying to reform things, and the Senate kept saying, no, 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 stopping this reform, crushing this rebellion, crushing that rebellion, no, until eventually the Senate's power evaporated. You want to learn about this? It's fascinating. Hillsdale will teach you. I love it. I love that they're offering this at no cost. No cost. Something for you to do this weekend when the rain sets in. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. There is no cost. It's a blast. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. That's a song about me and Chris. Chris, your weight brings me down. Did you know that? Anyway, remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Headline, thousands leave the country voluntarily amid Trump self-deportation push. Apparently, they're starting it. Look, again, this is why I've said, what's happened so far isn't fast enough, but it looks like, from the outside looking in, it looks like the Trump administration is doing everything they can do to put into place what they need to put into place to get mass deportation. That's not me telling you we're going to get it. It's me telling you I don't know. We don't know yet. Hey, if we're still sitting here next year and the numbers 500,000 even, then we know we're never going to get mass deportation. 500,000 is not mass deportation when the evil communists before us brought in 20 million. But if we're sitting here a year from now, then we've gotten a couple million and that number's ramping up. I realize that if it's ramping up, we have to give credit where credit is due. That's good. Chris, why are you shaking your head? Why do you have to be Debbie Downer about everything? I understand you call yourself a realist. I didn't say this was going to happen, did I? I said, if that happens, I am being patient where I think patience is warranted. What, Chris? What? What? You're setting proper expectations and I'm going to be disappointed. No, I'm not going to be. Well, I am and I'm not going to be disappointed. I'll explain it this way. I'm not going to be surprised if mass deportations don't materialize because I told everybody before the election mass deportation of 20 million people is a pipe dream. We don't have enough ICE personnel to even pull that off, okay? Especially when you have half the states as evil communist hellholes, we know those as blue states, that are designed to protect illegals. How do you mass deport 20 million people when half the country's trying to protect them and keep them here, right? It's just not realistic. But I also understand this, and I would tell you otherwise. I've been very critical of Trump when I get mad. The Trump administration knows that too. They know the challenges they face. They are trying, because I have plenty of people inside, they are genuinely trying everything they can possibly do at this point in time to put all the pieces in place to get the mass deportation they want. As of right now, and I will tell you if this changes, as of right now, Donald Trump is trying to fulfill his campaign promise of the largest mass deportation in history. He has not set it to the side. He is not ignoring the issue. He's genuinely not. And look, I'm about to complain about deficits. I'm about to insult, too. It's not like I'm not going to give it to you straight. He is not betraying that campaign promise right now. He is trying. It's going to take time. Now, if they can't get, look, I'm a results guy. Don't tell me about the birth pains. Show me the baby. If it ends up not happening, it's their fault. You said you could do it. You took power. If you even let the court stop you, that's on you. I'm not willing, after 100 days, I'm not willing to call mass deportation a failure yet. If we're judging only by 100 days, no, it hasn't worked. But it takes time to fix what communists destroy. It's a fact. Dear tiny hands, that's not nice. Okay, these hands are big. After years of marriage, the wife left me and the kids, and I'm now dating again. I'm sorry, brother. What is with all the women having a hoop nose ring piercing? It's an immediate turnoff. I don't know any dude who finds that attractive. Is this just another case of women giving each other bad advice? At least I know who they are or voting for, and I can stay away. Yeah, for one, stop complaining, because that's them giving you a heads up. Two, I think Chris and Corey both disagree with me on this. I'm okay with a little nose ring. Well, it depends on her age, right? And it depends on your age. If she's 45 and still sporting the nose ring, probably too much. But look, if she's 20, Chris, if she's 25 or 30 and she's got a hoop, not the hoops, ladies, no hoops. Don't do the hoop. If it's a little stud in the side, kind of says maybe she's what, Chris? I'm explaining it. Maybe she's a little wild. Okay, maybe it's not the end of the world. All right. Why do women do it? Well, look, I can't speak to the nose ring in particular, but sometimes women will do things with their appearance that is disastrous for one of two reasons. They get bored. Women get bored with how they look. And Ob does this. Ob is a total dime. Total dime. And she'll, like, her hair looks great. I'm thinking about dyeing it. Why? It looks fine. Well, I'm bored with it. They just get bored. I can't explain it. I've never been bored with how I look. I don't know. But I think, well, women judge each other, and they judge themselves really harshly when it comes to appearance. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'm getting boring or whatever. Maybe when she says I'm bored, what she means is I'm worried I'm getting boring, and so she's changing it. That's one of the two reasons. But the second reason is women are terrible to each other. Absolutely terrible to each other. And I've seen, quote, friends do this to each other repeatedly. A woman will go to her group of friends and she will say, I'm going to chop up all my hair and get a crew cut. And her friends, to a lady, will say to her, oh, you should. You'd look so cute. And every one of her friends know she's going to look awful. But you just took out the competition. No, you should totally chop off all your hair. Get a crew cut. It'll look cute. You'd look so cute. You have the perfect face for it. Ladies, every one of your friends who tells you that is a liar. Trust me, she's a liar. All right, somebody's mad at Donald Trump for the spending. We have that and so much more to get to. Let's talk to him in Taco Bell next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.